Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
We are live. Welcome back to this week's Inside Lacrosse Preps Podcast. I'm your host, Steven Berger, here at the Inside Lacrosse Studios. Week four. Very excited to be back. It's a beautiful day here in Charm City. I'm fortunate enough to be downtown in the beautiful Inner Harbor. So just to give everyone a little sense of the fact that I get to be downtown in the mix of just everything going on here. I know somebody who's got a special place of Baltimore in his heart. He's on the phone with me today, but he's spending his time out in the beautiful state of Texas. So give you a brief update. Just over the past week, we've been launching our podcasts, and it's been a fantastic sort of a eye-opener for me to be able to get a sense of what's going on in the NCAA Division I, II, and III ranks with our college podcast, our IL Women podcast that's been going on, and, of course, with the MLL season kicking off in full swing. We have our MLL podcast going off. So, Lax fans, if you need to know what's the latest and greatest, sort of what's the in and outs of what's going on in the game, please tune in to our weekly podcast. Hit us up on our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, questions or things or topics that you want covered. We are dialed in on those. So tune in with us each week. And with that out of the way, I'm excited to introduce our first guest. Today, a guy is a good friend of mine. He's doing some great things in the sport, as I mentioned, over in beautiful Texas. He's a coach, a current player, and a businessman. So I'll read this guy's bio, see if as I go through it, some of you can maybe get a sense of who we're going to speak with today. But again, as I mentioned, a Baltimore guy. Went to Archbishop Curley High School, played soccer and lacrosse, headed down to the beautiful Eastern Shore to Salisbury, Maryland, where he took his lacrosse game to the next level, being an all-conference, all-American player for the Seagulls, and actually winning a 2008 national championship with probably one of the greatest teams in Division III, in my mind, playing against and being able to watch, you know, those Seagull teams through their terror throughout the early 2000s. He didn't stop there, and like many players, great players, continued to venture on into the NLL on teams like Washington Stealth, where he won a 2010 championship, and the Philadelphia Wings, where it was his most sort of recent, time in the indoor world. Although MLL seems to be really his forte, as the outdoor game is kind of been his bread and butter, with the San Francisco Dragons, the Chesapeake Bay Hawks, and the Ohio Machine being three teams that he spent a good amount of time on, and in most recent years has been acquired by the New York Lizards. So, you know, with sort of that resume behind me, and with sort of what he's doing now as the head coach of Plano West in Texas and a program director for Rogue Lacrosse, it's my pleasure to introduce and welcome to the show Kyle Hartzell. Kyle, welcome.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
I need to take a deep breath after that resume, my man. It's lengthy. it's very impressive. And, I'm sure you're proud of all those accomplishments that you've kind of been, sort of standing on since your days back at Curley.
Yeah, man, it's been a long road, but, I'm about to turn 30, so, it's going by pretty quick, faster than I expected, but, I've enjoyed every step of the way, and I'm looking forward to good things here. In New York, in the upcoming MLL season, you get a lot of all-season requirements. So I think put together a team that can make a run of the championship this year. And, our main goal is to, every team's goal in that league, to win a championship. And, I think that's, we started off on the right foot last week, being a good Ohio team. And, I'm down here in Texas right now, about to wrap up our high school season. So got a lot going on, but, enjoying it.
That's the normal grind these days, it seems like, Kyle. Myself, I'm kind of gone through it, but, yourself sort of being that, sort of like many other, you know, top professional players out there doing the day-to-day work Monday through Friday to kind of get yourself prepared. You know, before we jump into that, you know, player side of the game for you, you know, I do want to dig into sort of how coaching's going on in Texas. How's your team doing? You loving it out there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, can't complain about the weather out here in Texas. It's good usually year-round. Usually get hit with 2 weeks of, you know, some snow, ice, but it's not around very long because of the weather out here. But, you know, we're doing good this year. Lost a lot of players last year. Mackenzie Gordon went to go play at Providence. Daniel Kravitz went to go on to play at Roanoke. And Bryce Barnett went to go to play at Salisbury University. So we lost a lot of seniors last year and kind of had a young team this year. I didn't expect to, you know, win too many games, but, you know, this year we've already won 7 games, and that's a big improvement from last year, and the kids this year, you know, stepped up and, you know, answered the call, and, you know, we're doing very well this year. We're 4-4 in the district, and if we win tomorrow night, you know, we're in the playoffs, but we don't necessarily need to win tomorrow. We need other teams to help us out if we lost, but, you know, we're going to try to take care of business tomorrow and, you know, get in the playoffs. First time in, I think, 4 years, 4 or 5 years here. So, you know, it's going great out here, and, you know, the sports are sporting at a rapid rate out here, and, you know, there's the athletes out here, bar none, you know, better than anywhere in the country, and, you know, I think you're going to see a high influx of kids from Texas going to play at the college level in the years to come. I mean, you've already seen it, but, no, in the years to come, I think you're going to see more and more as the sport grows.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle, can you give me some, you know, maybe some notable players or even coaches that you maybe gone up that you've been really impressed with, or maybe guys that you coach currently? You know, it's a state that's making noise in the game, as you mentioned, and the athletes out there are top notch. So, any guys that have really impressed you? Any future Kyle Hartzels in the ranks?
Yeah. There's a lot of athletes out here. You know, you got, I think one of the best kids in the state that's, probably one of the top recruits out here is Sam Romano. Sam Romano played, Episcopal School of Dallas, private school from here, and he's committed to go to Syracuse, and I think he's gonna step in right as a freshman and, contribute to that program. Sam's a tremendous athlete. He can kind of do it all. He plays defense, but he's he has a very, very strong outside shot. He can shoot on the run both hands. He can play defense. Like I said, he can do it all. The only thing he doesn't do is face off. But, you know, his game, how he plays, I think, you know, any coach in the country would want him to play. And I think that's why Syracuse kind of went after him heavily. And that's where he'll be attending. That's where we'll be at next year. Gage Bradshaw, he plays for my team. He's committed to Rutgers. He's a long pole, face off. He faces off. He plays LSM. He plays down low, depending on our matchups week to week. The Gage is kind of a do-it-all defenseman, athletic, strong, big defenseman, great stick skills, gets up and down the field, pushes transition. But he's a very exciting defenseman to watch. And, you know, those two are, you know, at their position are very good. You got, Highland Park has a ton of athletes. You got, Hugo, at Highland Park. He's a middie. He's tremendous athlete. They played St. Paul's, I think, a couple weeks ago, and he had 6 goals against St. Paul's. So that just speaks for itself. You know, you got one of the best teams from Baltimore coming up there, and he showed out scoring, I think it was like 6 goals. Don't quote me on that, but it was no less than 4. But, you know, I watched the game, and he's, you know, he was getting guarded by their best goal, and he was, you know, he was putting on a clinic, for that. But, you know, Ryan Darby here at our school, he's a sophomore goalie. He's committed to Hopkins. He committed last year to Hopkins, and he's probably got over 60 save percentage, 60% save percentage. Every game he's posting over, you know, 12 to 13 saves, which is kind of unheard of, but he's an unbelievable goalie. He came down last week and scored a goal, actually. I don't know if Petro's going to like that, but he came all the way out of the case, you know, field with one top corner. Pretty impressive play, but, you know, Ryan's a, you know, tremendous competitor. He wants to play at the next level. He wants to do it, you know, at a high level. And he works his butt off day in and day out, you know, to be the best player he can be. You know, you got a lot of kids down here that want to go play at the next level, and you know, recruiting out here is not too many events out here. You know, you got the Deuces event, you got Jerry Burns T99 out here. But a lot of the kids travel to go get seen because they want it bad and they want to go play at the next level. But you know, out here it's a little bit different right now. You know, football is king, and a lot of kids play both sports. Football is year round here, and kind of like you don't play football year round, you can't play lacrosse. So I think we miss out on a lot of athletes here that are playing football in the high school programs that don't play lacrosse. So,
but and you probably a lot of kids, in a state where football, you know, yeah, is king, but as many football players are doing, they're going to that next level. And I think to your point of how lacrosse players are now seeing those opportunities, whether it's big D1 programs or D2, D3 programs, there's sort of that, now that option that they may not have had. And I think also a little bit larger of a bullseye for college coaches to get into Texas and to find out, you know, hey, who and what type of athletes there are, because, you know, it's not just a Mid-Atlantic East Coast game anymore. And you're just seeing this purely with the guy I'm on the phone with today, Kyle Hartzell, who's head coach of Plano West, a Baltimore guy who's traveled out west to grow the game, to give an impact to this sport in a state that's really growing at a tremendous level. So, Coach, you know, you've been out there for 2 years, right? This is your third season as head coach?
Yes.
So, take me back.
My second season.
Second season. So, second season as head coach. You know, take me back then. Take me back when you landed on campus, you got that job. You know, obviously, you got to roll in with some sort of plan, right? What are some things that you can maybe shed light on that helped you grow the program or instill some things into these players to get them to where they are today?
I think, you know, the biggest thing here was when I got in and saw what it was like, you know, we have kindergarten kids all the way up to varsity. So we have a lot of kids playing the sport, you know, different age levels all the way up to the high school level. You know, the biggest challenge out here is there's so many kids playing the sport. But I don't think there's enough coaching, enough good coaching out here. You know, our people that step in for here at Plano West, they do a tremendous job, you know, managing all that. But there's a lot of kids playing the sport out here, but I don't think there's enough coaches, you know, at the high schools. You know, for the majority of it, you know, you have dads stepping in, helping out, and, you know, with all the kids playing, though, I don't think there's enough coaching out here. But my biggest thing was getting guys in, training them. You know, I ran coaches clinics last year, kind of train the guys, and you know how we coach, how we do things, how we motivate kids, you know, all the drills we run, just to kind of give them an idea of, you know, how we do things. I have coaches shadow me at my high school practices to learn and use that as a tool to, you know, use, you know, at their practices as well. But you know, the biggest thing is just motivating these kids to want to play at the next level. And I think, you know, once you do that, and they want it and they want to play at the next level, you know, that creates a competitive environment, and that's what we wanted to do. Coach Terry Kimmer, he's coach of the show right now. He's down here helping me as well. But we wanted to create a, you know, competitive environment to these kids competing, and you know that does a lot for a program. And this year, I think, you know, you've seen that last year we kind of had a worse record than we had last year. But the kids that were here, the freshmen that are playing on the team, like I said, we have a young team. But you know, the competitive environment, you know, we instilled in these kids, and you know, we make them work, you know, all season training program, all that stuff. But you know, the kids know that every day it's going to be, you know, they got to work for their jobs, and you know, when you create that environment, you know, good things happen. So that was our main goal coming down here, is, you know, creating a competitive environment and getting these kids to want to play at the next level. But, you know, we have a very, very rigorous fall ball. Like I said, we have strength, conditioning, speed, and agility. We do all that stuff that they weren't probably used to before. They kind of like were wide-eyed when I came in for that, because they never had that before. But, you know, we create a very competitive environment here, and, you know, it's paid off, I think.
Well, with a coach, with your resume, your background, your work ethic, you know, the way in which you treat the game, I'm sure is very reflective in the way now you act as a head coach. And so I'm sure those kids have learned and picked that up pretty quickly, you know, just by the way I know you, Kyle, and the way you approach everything. I'm sure these kids are very fortunate to have you as a coach. Let's look at it now, though, from you know, a week in which you have a game, and just try to get inside your head a little bit. And you got a big game this week, right? You mentioned you got playoffs potential coming up. You know, you got to take care of business, but you need some help maybe from some other teams. First and foremost, who's the big game tomorrow against?
We play Coppell High School.
Okay, so Coppell High School, going into it, you know, talk me through it now. What's your weekly plan? How do you prepare for, you know, this big game? What's your message? You know, what do you like to work on? You know, at the beginning of the week, maybe closer to the game. Do you do film? What's your scouting look like? I'd love to get a sense of what Coach Hartzell's, you know, working on leading up to this big game.
Yeah, we have scouted. You know, we played Coppell this weekend. We had usually it's kind of tough. You know, I get film. I share film with coaches, but the past 2 weeks we've had 2 games in 14 days, so I've had a lot of time to recruit them. And check. You know, I've got film. I have 2 films on Coppell. I have, you know, scouted them 3 times live, so I kind of know what they bring to the table. You know, they have, you know, their goaltender is probably one of the best in the state. Very, you know, righty, very good kid. But they, you know, I've recruited them a lot, and, you know, we kind of focus on, you know, what we need to do to take care of business. You know, we run our systems offensively, our defense, you know, we make sure we're all on the same page, you know, our riding and clearing. You know, we take care of all that stuff first, and then, you know, we'll watch film today. You know, as I said, we play a mile, kind of like a walkthrough today, and we'll scout Coppell. We've been doing it the past 2 days. I don't want to give away too much information there, Stephen, but
I don't want to interfere in your scout, but it's, you know, I guess go ahead.
Yeah, but the kids watch film every week, so anytime we have a game, we watch film usually the day before. So we'll practice today. The kids already have the film, so they've watched it, but we'll watch it as a team today, just so Coach Kimmer and I can you know, go over it with them and point out certain things. Key things that I think will help us win the games, things to pay attention to, you know, the key players up top at midfield. You know, they have a very strong midfield. They have a very good attack in mind, the goal, kind of like a quarterback. You know, we need to keep our eyes on, and, you know, they got great outside shooters, so we'll be keen on that. You know, they got a great face-off guy, and they have really good pulls. So, you know, our captain knows that they need to run full speed. They can't just run in a straight line because they would be pulled and take the ball from them. Things like that we key in on. Right. Just so when they go in the game, they feel more confident.
Right. I mean, and one thing that you really hit on, and I think that you and I, back when we played, film was unheard of at high school lacrosse. You know, I mean, film was like if your dad or your uncle or some, you know, somebody took a video of the game, right? And you may be able to go home. I mean, nowadays with the softwares and the technologies that we have,
phones
that, you know, even iPads are being streamed. You know, it's such a game changer. And I think you as a coach utilizing that and kids even seeing the importance of it is crucial, because you are able to get not only maybe a snapshot or a little idea of what your competition is, but like you had mentioned, what you need to do, what your team needs to make sure they do, you know, to get prepared for the game. And that's a message I always send is we got to worry about us more than we worry about our opponent or our scout. You know, yeah, it's good to have an idea and tendencies and be prepared. But, you know, if you don't take care of what you're really good at doing or what you want to do in that game, what you want to instill, then it may be a long day for you. So,
We focus highly on, you know, what we need to do to win the game. Focus on us. And then the last two days today, yesterday we spent an hour and, you know, 20 minutes doing what we need to do. And then the last, you know, 20 minutes, you know, we scouted Coppell, you know, went through some of their offenses, some of their man up, man down, you know, what they do when they run a zone sometimes, you know, stuff like that just to cover it. And, today we'll probably all walk through, do a lot of shooting, stuff like that, nice and light, and then we'll go through what they do, and we'll go watch film as a team, and, you know, we'll be more than prepared for tomorrow's game, and, you know, we got to show up and take care of business.
I'm sure you allow your long sticks to get in those shooting drills, right, Coach Hartzell?
Yeah. Oh, all the long sticks are in the shooting drills, yes.
How about, Coach, let's get into this, and this is something that I love to ask, particularly with players that are now head coaches, right, you know, the way we get fired up as a player is obviously a little different than you can as a coach. Anything that you do specifically to get yourself or your team fired up on game day? You know, have you formed any coach superstitions or formed any habits that, that you sort of stuck to as a coach in preparing or even on game day? You know, do you eat a specific meal or you do something to be able to get, you know, stress? Or, I mean, obviously you're a guy that works out every day, so something like that isn't as crucial, but you know, give me a little, are there any things that you're doing that is a little outside or something that you like to do to get your squad going on game day?
Coaching for Coach Shriver, Boys Latin, I don't know why anyone hasn't had video coaches. Pre-game speeches are pretty good. He gets the kid fired up, and his pre-game speeches before he leaves need to be documented because they're some of the best I've ever seen. You know, I would get fired up. I don't even play in the game. I just try to give him, we're at our locker room, at our stadium, I give him just a little pump up speech and, tell him, a lot of the seniors' motivation for this weekend, definitely could be their last game. So, they need to, learn that message, leaving it all on the field is I'm keying on them this week. But I think the kids know they prepare week in and week out. They don't need someone to pump them up because, they know what they need to do come game time. I usually give them a little pump up speech just to get them fired up a little bit, focused. And that's all I do for that.
I'd love to get a Kyle Hartzell pump up speech one day. So.
Yeah. You gotta come out of retirement and come play for the Wizards.
I guess so. I have some familiarity with that team and that color and what it means to be a Lizard. So maybe that could happen. Yeah. Maybe that could happen.
We're in week two, so.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see, Coach. I'm enjoying my weekend so far. So I'm going to put it to you that way. Coach, let's switch gears now. I mean, obviously, and to give our listeners who are tuning in, I'm here with Kyle Hartzell, head coach of Plano West out in Texas. Besides Coach Hartzell, leading his team day in and day out at the high school ranks, he's also, preparing himself to play in what number season is this, Coach, for you in the MLL?
Oh, man, Jesus. That'd be like eight, right? Was it down in there, 2008? Yeah, so we're around getting old, man.
Yeah.
It's kind of bad when you ask me how many years I'm in, and I don't know what it
is. You don't remember. Well, let's go down your resume real quick. Coach Hartzell, was a part of the San Francisco Dragons, which it doesn't even exist anymore, which is always fun to look back at in the history, been in this league to know a team that it doesn't even exist anymore. You are a part of, but probably a cool experience out in San Fran. And then obviously heading over to the Chesapeake Bayhawks, where you were the 2010 champions. You were also the weekend MVP, which is pretty impressive as a defenseman. You were on the 2011 All MLL team when you were at the Ohio Machine.
Yep.
And I think in that season you had the most points that a defenseman had in the league, which you led with about 21. And now currently, as you mentioned, you are a New York Lizard. You are a four-time MLL All-Star, and to be a part of that team and that program, as you mentioned, it's got to be pretty exciting for the guys and the acquirements that they made in the off season. So, first, what's the biggest thing that you're excited about for this season?
I think, like I said in the beginning, the off season acquisitions we made. Paul Rabel is one of my great friends, and obviously one of your good friends. Having him on a team, creates a lot of buzz. But he's a great leader, and, having him, you go down the list of names on our roster, Rob Pinnell, Ned Crotty, got so many guys on that team that have, they were Torton Award winners or, finalists, at least. I don't know how many we have on the field, but, get to see. We have a lot of guys, that, were the best coming out of college, at their year. I think Ned Crotty was one of the only college players to play on Team USA. I'm only one gold. We got so many. Steve Holmes, played at University of Virginia. I think he's a very underrated defenseman. I think he's one of the best cover guys in the league. You know, you got Joe Fletcher, who is, you know, unbelievable defenseman. Last year he had a breakout year. This year he's, you know, he looks even better than he did last year. You know, we got Brian Spolina, who is a great guy in the locker room. You know, he obviously gets guys fired up, as you know, on and off the field. You know, we have, you know, Drew Adams, I think one of the best goaltenders in the league, you know, as our backstop. But, you know, just, and, you know, you got Greg Grenland, best baseball guy in the league, played with Team USA in the summer. You know, we got a very, very star-centered roster. But that's not saying, you know, there's only one ball, but, you know, we look very good this weekend. We have a lot of, you know, you got Matt Poske, Matt Gibson, those inside guys, both of them, I think if you looked at the game, they're pretty much inside guys. They had 8 goals, combined. So I think that shows you a lot, with the guys on the outside are creating, Tom's line and sharing the ball, which are going to be key to our success this year. And, you know, I don't know if I was a little worried about it going into the season, but, you know, what it looked like in training camp, man, I would not want to go up against that offense. And you know, they're looking very good this year. And like I said, we have a good defense. So I'm excited for the group that we have. And, you know, we want to just take it a week at a time. Because in this league, I mean, you got so many good teams. Every team in this league is, it doesn't matter week in, week out, any team can win. So you got to show up and play. Your best across each week. So that's what we're focusing on, and you know, just taking a week at a time, and you know, trying to stay together as a team, and play team ball, and you know, I think if we do that, we'll take care of business.
Now, what's the you know, looking back? I mean, 8 years ago, right, coming out of Salisbury University, you know, getting introduced to this professional league, and there's many college players that are getting ready to do this, Kyle. They're getting ready to, you know, finish their college season and have a next phase of lacrosse and the professional ranks. What's the biggest difference in your mind? I mean, obviously, I could throw $100 on the table right now and know that you're probably going to say speed, okay, right? But outside of speed, right, everyone has the speed and the quickness, but what's the biggest difference between going from that college to that professional ranks? And what are things that these players coming out of school, that what do they need to do to establish themselves, to consistently be in a roster? It's not an easy thing with only 18, 19 spots to dress on a weekend. So what's the difference, and what are some things that these guys need to do?
You know, I think the biggest challenge is obviously in college, you know, you're working out every day, you have a coach telling you need to be here, you need to be doing this, you need to be on the wall, stuff like that. You know, in the professional game, you're on your own. So you gotta, I think if you look back, you know, a lot of the guys that have success in this league, you can tell that they're working on their own. You know, there's been guys that have come into the league and have left, great players, you know, they get full-time jobs. You know, it's tough to train every day on your own when you got a lot of stuff going on, right? People got to work, got to make money, people are coaching, people are traveling. So you really need to focus in on, I think the most important thing is staying in shape, and also keeping your stick in your hand. I think if you do those two, you know, the sky's the limit. Anyone can do it. You know, you've seen a bunch of D3 players, yourself, myself, playing this league, and I think, You know, we just didn't just wake up out of bed and do that. You know, we worked hard to get where we were. It's not an easy road from Division III, jumping up pretty much 4 levels. You know, Division II, Division I, all the professional. You know, but you know, the athletes are bar none. The best of you watching the game, it's up and down. The 60-second shot clock. And said, like I said, you said I was going to say the speed. Obviously, the speed of the game is very, very high. But I think, you know, keeping in shape on your own, keeping a stick in your hand, that those two are very, very key. But, you know, a lot of the, you know, guys going to college, they get recruited, right? These kids get drafted. You know, they might only have 1 week, you know, one game to show out. If they show up and have a bad game and don't play good, they're going to be, you know, off the roster, next guy stepping up. So I think, you know, the window of, you know, making mistakes is very, very small. I think if you step into a game and you're constantly making mistakes, turning the ball over, shooting it, and you go with stick, you know, not doing positive things and you're constantly, you know, making mistakes, I think, you know, your window of, you know, staying on the lineup is very small. So I think that's probably the highest stress that a player will have coming in is, you know, they might be, you know, a four-time All-American, you know, best player in the world, but, you know, they step onto a team with that same, everyone else is a four-time All-American best player on the field, and it's kind of, you know, it's kind of like they're starting over again. They're going from high school being the best player, they're going to college to play with all these great players. It's kind of like the same pattern, but they're just going through, you know, they're 22 years old. It's kind of like the same thing. They're, you know, they're the best player in the world, but the rest are stepping on a team with the best players in the world, and it's kind of, I don't think it's a stressful environment, but they also, you know, it's like, you know, I'm not just going to walk on in and grab a spot, I'm going to have to earn it. So, I think, you know, staying in shape, keep your sticking in very important. And also, you know, the high stress of coming into the lineup and, you know, you can't make that many mistakes. And if you do, you know, you're probably not going to be in the lineup or, you know, you might even get released. So I think those components of the league are, you know, where we're focusing on. And, I think it's a big component of why guys, you know, stay in the league and play.
You gotta love it too, right? I mean, that's as you mentioned, you know, going out and staying in shape or keeping the stick in your hands is, it can't be Groundhog Day. You know, you gotta be excited about doing it. You gotta love doing it, and just like you had said, man, it's at the high school level. If you have that passion and that pride and that work ethic, it'll hopefully translate as you get into that college ranks, because it is a reset button. It is a learning curve and a learning step as well. So it's important to sort of handle that adversity to a degree. But if you keep that stick in your hands, you keep on top of your weight and your strength game and your speed game. And then, you know, put your nose in there, right? I mean, I think that's one thing that guys, and obviously I can talk about myself and you just to where we came from and just sort of our own work ethic. But I think that's another thing that you also got to have a chip on your shoulder a little bit too. And, you know, have pride in the fact that you are on that field for a specific reason. You didn't just all of a sudden just show up, you know, somebody just come over the streets and say, hey, I think you should try out for this. You know, you kind of earned a spot. So I think there's also a chip on the shoulder that's sort of needed, to get into to the ranks, the MLL ranks. And then, like you said, being smart, being able to, sort of earn that role through good decision making or, you know, hard work throughout, you know, playing. So, yeah, spot on, coach. I mean, I think, you know, when you look at what you've done, and that's the last thing is it's been consistent. And I think consistency with anything that we do is really important. And it's obviously something that you message to your players. You obviously, actions are more than your words as you put it in day to day. And that reflects on Saturdays and Sundays when you play, in the MLL. So, you know, definitely kudos to you, coach, and keep up the great work. Let's talk about this weekend. Let's talk about week two. You know, it's a big one against Rochester. First, any thoughts, any things that you guys are looking forward to? You're going to Rochester, am I right? So it's first away game, you know, a little bit of a different feeling than being at home on the island. What are some first thoughts from you?
You look at Rochester. I mean, they were in the championship last year. They're always put together a solid team. I mean, a couple of key losses last year. You know, Lavelle, who obviously is one of the best players that ever played a game. You know, they got guys that step right in. If you look at the game last week against Charlotte, you know, Jeremy Boltus had, I guess he came back, if he came back from the Army, I know he wasn't there last year, but when he came in, just like himself, maybe even better in better shape. I think he's putting four goals. You know, Jordan Wolf, you know, you got key on him. He's one of the best in the league, I think, at last year. Just coming in as a rookie, was one of the best in the year. He's kind of unguardable. It looked like from, you know, a lot of guys like Lee Zink guarding him, and he takes your top defenseman. He was, you know, he was showing out against those guys. So Jordan Wolf on their attack, Boltus and Thompson. You know, Thompson is that guy, great hands, pretty much can finish anything. You look at that attack unit, very good. At the midfield, you got Justin Turry played at Duke. You know, Lawson played at Duke. Don Rannigan, Rob Luda. Those four guys are, you know, they all played at a high level in college, and you know, they're playing at a high level on that team. And they've played Rannigan, Lawson, and Turry have played together for over 2 years now. So they got a lot of chemistry at the midfield. But, you know, Lawson, I think, is the guy that you're going to have to get a pull to. Lawson's a very dynamic dodger. He can, you know, change directions on you, shoot left, right hand on the run. Terry got a big outside shot, and Randon, you know, he's just a freight train, you know, north-south Dodger, running down the lane. So I had to key in on, I think, you know, all three of them for that. You know, the long stick, maybe Lacazio, Shanty, that we're going to look to put that early playing, but you got Joel Leahy playing indoor, so he won't be there. But, you know, Ocasio is a very good long stick midi out of Villanova, who our midfielder doesn't have to pay attention to where he's at on the field. And also you got John Galloway, that, you know, Galloway is one of the best goalies in the league. He's on Team USA this year, and, you know, he can get in a stick a couple times, or, you know, you give him a lot of confidence. You know, he can have big games, as you know. You know, Johnny's one of the best goalies in the league, and, you know, you give him confidence early, man, he's hard to stop. But, you know, we got to focus on what we need to do to win the game, and, you know, we all know, you know, what they have to offer, and we just got to limit their runs, and, you know, at the end of the day, score more goals than them and get stopped. So I think, you know, I'll throw it on the weekend. Obviously, we're going to Rochester and we'll practice, Saturday night. You know, Long Island, we practice twice, you know, practice Friday and Saturday, no walkthrough on Sunday. So, like you said, not having the comfort zone of your own stadium, you know, practicing two nights is a little different. You guys flying into all over the place, and you're staying in a hotel in Rochester, you guys get at different times, you guys might miss practice. And then, you know, we gotta show up and play, our best ball this weekend. Against a great team that was in the championship last year. So I think, you know, when you show up, play our game, you know, we'll be just fine.
I think, and that's crucial, as you probably saw last week, a team like Ohio who, you know, traditionally up until last year, you know, hasn't been a team that many have been scared of. But obviously they've done a great job over the past few years of rebuilding that program up and gaining the confidence that they need, getting some personnel on there to separate themselves. And I think that goes true with Rochester. I mean, they have never been a slouch in the league. And last year, just with the pure fact of being in that championship game, you know, you gotta realize that builds a lot of confidence. It's crucial, like you said, to just be able to be ready to go, no matter who you're playing. And it's like NFL, you know, it's like in March Madness, you know, you got to show up to play your A game. And even more, just with the pure fact of who's on these rosters and sort of that effort that these teams are putting in. I think the other crucial piece is getting an edge early in the season, you know, getting wins under your belt early in the season with the facet that you said, coach. I mean, there's a lot of guys that maybe have things going on indoor. Maybe they're coaching college teams. You know, maybe they don't get into practice on time, so they don't get necessarily the tune-up they need. So there's a lot of different things that can go on early in this season. And I think, you know, it's crucial to take advantage of these early games to try to get ahead of the pace. So, I definitely wish you guys the best. I know that, Long Island has a great tradition, obviously with the sport, and then now with this new sort of, some new faces and this new energy, behind what you guys have going. I'm excited to see what the Lizards can do in this 2015 season. So, Coach Hartzell, let's end on a couple other questions just to kind of get a sense of some things that you do to prepare. What's your favorite pregame meal before an MLL game?
Oh, favorite pregame meal, man. I'm always eating a little bit of chicken parm, but, you know, usually depending on the city, where we're at, you know, I can always go with a turkey sandwich too. Turkey sandwich is usually my go-to if I don't have chicken parm the day before.
There you go. Well, now, what weapon of choice? What are you using these days? I saw some slick new gloves on Instagram. Give us a sense of what you're rocking these days. Your stick, gloves. What are you going out on the field with? I know you got to look good. I know those Salisbury guys are always about looking good before they play good. So
I'm using you know, the new Evo 4 X. It's a little bit wider version for defensemen, and then also the Evo 3 head. I go, you know, usually in between in the seasons. The Evo gloves I have, they're, you know, the neon green Lizard colors and all, they're solid black this year. I haven't worn them yet. Like you said, they're on Instagram. I'll be showcasing them this weekend. The new Burling cleats, Warrior Burling cleats I'm rocking, lightweight. They're awesome shoes. I love wearing them. other than that, you know, I'm usually just head-to-toe in Warrior socks. As you know, I'm a Warrior guy. So, but, you know, the Evo 4Xs, I'm using the new Revo. I'm using, men's heads, my weapon of choice. Just, I use hard mesh. I'm not complicated. Two shooting strings up top and a V, so.
Keep it simple. Keep it simple. It's one thing I've always loved about your game is it doesn't have to be flashy. You keep it simple. And you know, for anybody out there that's listening to this, if you go and watch Coach Hartzell train or you go and see him just work on his game, he does it at full rate, full speed. And like you said, he keeps it simple. He's not afraid to pull up from about 42, just inside the midfield line. I think that's about 42 yards. So not only was he one of the leading point scorers a few years back, but Coach is a huge threat on the offensive end, and it's not just, you know, doing that sort of in games. It's really working that on your own. So, Coach, you're really taking the defensive and I think long stick midi position to that next level. So keep up the great work. I guess, you know, to end, Team USA. I know it's kind of not a great topic with coming out on the silver medal, but the experience you had. And obviously, you know, you're looking ahead to 2018. So, how was it playing on Team USA? And, you know, are you excited for what's ahead for the 2018 team? And are you going after it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it was an unbelievable experience. I mean, how you get a roster, you know, with that many good players on it, be a part of that for, you know, the 2 weeks we were up there. It's unbelievable. I mean, you tried out, you know, the experience you've been doing that over the years. I mean, I think more than anything, you tried out for all, pretty much a lot of the teams. And I think the tryout process of the last one was kind of I wouldn't say it was overwhelming, but it was a lot. You know, we had a lot of tryouts and those tryouts were not easy. They were like, I feel like I was back to college again. But you know, that's the way you want it. You want to make that a competitive environment. And, you know, we had to call a couple sessions, as you remember, when guys were getting hurt, just because, you know, although they were sore and, you know, probably shouldn't have been on the field, they were just pushing as hard as they could go, to the limits, because they wanted, everyone wants to get on that team so bad. You know, we had 100 guys try out and it gets cut down to, you know, I think it was like 20, 23, something like that. But, you know, it was a very long process and I'm looking forward to the next one. Obviously, I got a bad taste in my mouth. Not winning the gold medal. You can't take any away from Team Canada. I mean, a lot of those guys I played was an indoor. But you know, you can't take any away from those guys. They played a great game. And, but you know, I'm definitely making me more hungry and motivated for the next one. You know, I can't wait. You know, and I'll be working my balls off for that. To get to that next one. Cause you know, I want that bad. And, you know, that's one thing on my resume I don't have is a gold medal. And yeah, we had the USA indoor games coming up this year. So we got that, I got that on my radar as well. That's coming up here very soon. So but yeah, I'm looking forward to the next one and, you know, I can't wait for it.
You noted on the indoor, you know, do you think indoor lacrosse has helped your game?
Yes. I think indoor lacrosse has helped your game. I mean, the confines of the box, you know, the ball is always in play. You're constantly playing on ground balls. You know, the ball never leaves the playing surface, so you're always reacting to where the ball is. And I think, you know, the picking game, right? It's just like basketball. You have three-man wall side, two-man wall side, and I think it works a lot with offensive players, you know, moving off ball, because in that game, you know, the field game, kids kind of get, you know, they get away with standing on and killing grass. Indoor game, you cannot just stand there because one, your guys are cross-checking and flashing you off ball. One, you don't want that to happen to you, and two, you know, when a guy has a ball, you need to work off ball, so I'm setting kicks, setting your screen, stuff like that. You know, and then going out in the field game, everything just looks so much bigger and the game slows down. I think that's the biggest thing. And defensively, you know, you got to constantly communicate. You on the field game can get away with, you know, not communicating every single second that they're on the defensive end of the field. I'm constantly yelling, communicate, you know, from the sideline. But, you know, in the indoor game, you have to constantly communicate because guys are setting picks the whole entire time. So you gotta switch, you gotta stay, get through, you know, all that stuff. You know, I think indoor definitely helps players in games. I mean, you see in the college ranks how many Canadians are playing, you know, how many kids are playing, college kids are playing on, you know, UNC, Denver, you know, all these top Division I teams because coaches want them because, you know, they're tremendous players, you know, the Swiss Seals, and all that are, you know, best in the game. So I think a lot of people, you're seeing a big influx and big draw for indoor lacrosse here in the States now because, you know, they see all these Canadians, you know, just pouring into the college game. And, you know, coaches want that. And, you know, I think a lot of college programs are using box lacrosse to, you know, try to get the Americans, you know, playing the same way. So I think it helps a lot.
Yeah, no, I think it's huge, Coach. Like you had mentioned, just the difference that the game challenges the athletes, and like you said, close quarters, whether it's the pick game or whether it's just, you know, a different sort of way to approach the outdoor game. And you see a lot of college coaches and even high school coaches incorporating more of a indoor style to the game. So no, that's great. I think, you know, you playing indoor lacrosse, and like you had mentioned, just bringing that sort of experience and the things that you learn into the outdoor game has credited to and probably complemented a lot of the things you're doing. So that's great. Well, again, to kind of close up, Coach, I'm here very grateful for the fact that we were able to spend about 45, 50 minutes to catch up, see how things are going in beautiful Texas for you. I appreciate the time, and hopefully we can catch up soon. Best of luck in the closing of your high school season, and, of course, best of luck in the kickoff as you continue on in the MLL ranks with the Long Island Lizards.
Thanks, Steve, man. I appreciate it.
Of course. And, again, we're here with Kyle Hartzell, ending week four of our Inside Lacrosse Preps podcast. Please tune in every week with us as we talk to one of the greatest and some of the best coaches and players nationally to talk about IL preps and the landscape of lacrosse growing today. I am Steven Berger, and I'm out.
Inside Lacrosse Podcast.